Right before we left for the holiday, I learned that Jennifer Leishheit graduated from her basic, which is up around Chicago. And I failed to put the GDC logo by her name on this bulletin. But now that she is officially a member of the United States Navy, that'll be on the bulletin next February, this next month. And so we congratulate her for her successful graduation. And now she is a part of that core of individuals in all branches of our service who defend the shores and also represent those in the military on active duty from this church. We'll pause for a few moments of silent prayer. It will afford you the opportunity for rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Now, Father, as we continue our study, it is our prayer that the Holy Spirit would magnify what we're studying into our souls, that it may be clear to us, then with that clarity, the energy that is provided by the Holy Spirit for application. To these ends, we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. We were noting the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's on the board. It has retroactive and current positional truth associated with it. And we're noting the adjective amonas, which carries the idea of being unblemished, absent of defects. And this is because the believer is in union with Christ. And therefore, that's called positional sanctification. And therefore, we're blameless as a result. Blameless because of the work of Christ on the cross. And we noted that in our chart as time caught us in the first session. But also, we are in current positional truth. In other words, we're identified with Christ. We are in Christ. And that is positional. In other words, we're positionally in Christ. We will be, therefore, associated with Him for all eternity. This will begin following our physical death. It will start with great magnitude and importance once we have the evaluation tribunal where we will be vetted before Jesus Christ. He is the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of Heaven, and we will enjoy our rewards, if there are any, at that time. Regardless of any rewards, we're all going to be very happy to be there. Very briefly now, let's note current positional truth. Positional truth puts us in Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are a couple of points that you can see in blue. At salvation, current positional truth identifies the soul with the resurrection, ascension, and session of Christ. If we're in Him, then through faith alone and Christ alone, we're identified with the fact that Jesus Christ was resurrected. He ascended into heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. We are in Him. We are in those places positionally. And so number five, current positional truth constitutes the marriage of the believer to a new husband, Jesus Christ. The soul remains with Christ for all eternity. That is important, this current positional truth, with regard to the marriage of the believer to the new husband. The new husband at salvation is Christ, the old husband of the sin nature. The sin nature has been defeated in your life. You can resurrect the sin nature by submitting to the lust patterns of the sin nature, and there are probably about 15 of them, and we use some, don't we? And so we do have that problem. So rebound, of course, clears that deck. Nevertheless, whatever sins you commit were judged on the cross. You're forgiven through rebound. You're in the bottom circle. You move forward as a fifth column in the angelic conflict. So what the believer is experientially is beside the point. In time, he is in the plan of God. All sins have been judged. And his positional status is vindicated by means of justification before the Supreme Court. Now, you have seen this. I guess I could back up a little bit and show you this diagram. When you have the righteousness of God by means of the justice of God imputed to you at the moment of salvation, you possess the righteousness of God, and to that target come your logistics and your blessings. And so that separates you from all other humanity. You're an elite corps of royal aristocrats. You are somebody. If you never make any advance whatsoever in the Christian way of life, you are royalty because you're in Christ and He is the ultimate leader. So it's important to get that. And therefore, justification is the offshoot of this. Imputed righteousness means you're justified and you're vindicated before the Supreme Court. You're no longer held guilty for your sins because Christ was judged for them. You are responsible for them, and therefore you seek to manage them through the Word of God in your soul, and you can clear the decks when necessary through confession alone to God alone. So that point is taken here, and that what the believer is experientially is beside the point. We all fail. We have a sin nature, but the sin problem has been resolved. In time, the believer is in the plan of God. All sins have been judged, and his positional status is vindicated by means of justification before the Supreme Court. That would be the current positional truth concept we noted in the first session. Now, the conclusion from this is that all Christians are in the plan of God, and that plan does not depend upon the believer. Everything depends upon Christ and the Word of God. Now, He is the one that is in power and in authority. He is the one that we have noted in previous studies. He is the paterfamilias in this sense, that He is the one to whom we place our faith and confidence. And therefore, He is our patron, and we are a client of His. We depend on our patron to provide for us all we need in order to carry out the duties he's assigned. The duties are found in Scripture, but we need sustenance. We need provisions in order to carry these things out. We're going to fail. We're going to, therefore, have good days and bad. But he is not going to take us off the battlefield because we submit to our sin natures. That's understood. What we want to do is diminish that. We diminish it with the power of the Word and orientation to the war that we're in. That's why you have basic training in the military. I've never been in basic training in the military, but I've had those who have been through it to tell me what goes on there. And I remember when Tyler Ristie was in town it must have been 4 or 5 years ago. And there was, I would call it a special that some network had on how SEALs go through their basic training. And so they had the cameras there and they were filming this. And of course, as we looked at this, we thought, well, they're not going to display in this movie all of what goes on in SEAL basic training. I mean, they're going to let us see some of it, but certainly not all of it. So when Tyler was in town, we asked him to sit down, let's watch this. It was about an hour or so, and give us a critique all along. We'll pause the movie and you can critique what's going on and what you're seeing and how things that are displayed are legitimate and otherwise. And so he did a flowing commentary throughout the course of that particular movie. And what these guys were asked to do that we could see was pretty serious. And when these guys start out, they say, hey, I'm going to go out for SEAL. And so you show up at the SEAL training place and they start in on you. And the things that they ask you to do to see if you can qualify to be somebody called SEAL, then let's just say 100 start out and maybe 15 or 20 actually clear the decks on this. Everybody started out thinking they could be a SEAL. 100 people, let's say. And when it was all over and the smoke cleared, 15 or 20 got to be one. So there's a learning curve there, and you see if you have the capacity to do the job that is required once somebody sticks something in your chest and calls you a SEAL. There's a learning curve there, and some people don't have the physical ability to do it, where others don't have the mental ability to do it. That's what's happening in the invisible war of the angelic conflict. Once you get saved, then your obligation is to move forward in a training course. The training course is the rest of your life. Are you going to be a winner or are you going to be a loser? Can you take the challenges that appear and occur in everyone's life, but in yours specifically, because you are given all of the assets necessary to endure and overcome whatever life brings your way, but you have to learn the basics and then the advanced doctrines that are necessary to make you a winner in the angelic conflict. Some people can do this and some people can't. That means that all of them get to go to heaven when they die, but not all of them are winners. To Nakonti, to the winner. That introduces the Nike Awards in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. And all of them, to Nakonti, to the winner, thus and so. And then a Nike award or a collection of awards are noted. So understand that life is basic training, really. You get promoted along the way as you advance. The sophisticated spiritual life, copacetic spiritual life, occupation with Christ. These are stop points along the way, or checkpoints, I should say. And it's hell to pay. This ain't easy. We're in the enemy's camp. And the enemy wants to destroy anything and anybody that's going to give any kind of information that would be in opposition to what they're trying to do. Doctrinal churches are under assault. I just came back from Ron Adam's church down in Birmingham. It's, whatever we go through is normal. Lucifer wants to destroy, diminish, downgrade the Word of God. And a man told me just this week that the big deal in some of these hoo-ha churches is to see if they can keep new people in the seats. Invite them in so we can get another body in a chair. And they've done research. Now listen to this. They've done research on this. When a new person, when a new body comes in and sits down, what do you have to do to make that person want to come back a second time? And the answer is, if you don't stimulate, captivate, motivate that individual within the first 45 seconds, they're not coming back. I want some laughter here. I mean, that is sad, dear people. Now, you talk about a brief attention span. 45 seconds to capture your imagination that, hey, I want more of this. I don't know what it's going to be. As I review one of the prayers that were just given, as the most boring Bible teacher in the whole country, which I proudly claim, I don't know how many seconds I get. Maybe seven sounds like a perfect number. Like, shall we pray? Maybe. I'm just saying that the devil's world has overwhelmed Christianity. They're all about the bodies, the pulses, the numbers, the excitement, the hoo-ha. When they just need to be teaching whoever it is that would stay and listen to the Word of God being taught for more than 22 minutes. I don't know what you think about what we're studying, but this is serious theology here about who you are and who you can be if you'll sign on to what God's got for you. We're talking about positional truth. You're in Christ and you have logistics provided to carry you as far as you want to go in this life with Christ. That's quite a nice thing to know you have. This is really good stuff that you can count on. You know you're there. You know that you have a future, not only in this life, you have it for eternity. And why you're here is you're in basic training to see who is it that can make it as a winner. And Jesus Christ allows the dark side to have its day. And it's going to have its day until the second advent. And throughout the church age, there have been people who have lived, they've been saved, they've moved through the Christian way of life, and they've died. Some died miserably under the sin unto death. Other people were just paperweights holding down their piece of ground until they died. And others have moved forward. Most of them that did the advance did so in a way that they had to ignore the exigencies that they faced, which are normal to every person that breathes breath. Hell to pay. The conclusion from this is that all Christians are in the plan of God, and that plan does not depend on the believer. It depends on what God can do for you if you're willing to go. And so the DI can do everything he can to break you down. We don't need wimps in the SEAL Corps. We need to find out who those are that really can't cut this. And we're going to make them do things that normal people can't do. And if they can do it, are they willing to go to the next step? And then the one after that and the one after that. And finally, there's a little group over here who paid the price, and they get something stuck in their chest. Gary, I forget what it's called.
Trident.
A trident. The steels get that? They drive it right into their pectoral.
I don't know if they do that to them or not.
Are you telling me that you had a trident?
No, I had a dolphin.
Well, that. You had a dolphin driven into your pectoral. Okay, and then you sit there in your chair. I think Tyler's listening now, so be careful. You're saying that his trident was not driven into his pectoral.
I said, I don't know.
What? That's what's called CYA. It gives me pause to think that there are going to be ladies in the Navy and in the SEALs. So maybe they're not doing that anymore. This is where we are, isn't it? Okay. I'm sure I'll get an email from Tyler affirming the fact that his trident, he probably still wearing his, festered over. So in the angelic conflict, there's that. You're going to run into things that you'll think, this ought not to be on my daytimer. But you wouldn't get it unless God felt you needed the education. Something bigger and worser is down the road, and you're going to need some inventory to recall in order to get through the next step. I'm telling you, it's out there. And you say, well, why are you telling me this? Well, wimps don't make it. Wimps don't make it. The status of blamelessness is verified by the following adverb. Kontenopion, which has a dual connotation. Kontenopion may be translated in the sight of God. That's who approves the advance. This emphasizes phase two sanctification, the completion of the process by which the believer advances to the sophisticated spiritual life in time. It is an advance. It's ongoing. It is unrelenting. And you have to make it through. You cannot let thought, disaster, people, system, prosperity, testing cause you to deviate. You must move through it. Secondly, it may be translated in the presence of God, which emphasizes phase three sanctification, the believer in a resurrection body minus the sin nature in the eternal state. Now, the adverb recognizes the present status of the believer during which he is in the sight of God and his future status during which he will be in the presence of God. In the sight of God in time and the presence of God in eternity. Now, the prepositional phrase in love belongs at the beginning of verse 5, so it's not a part of verse 4, so here's the expanded translation. God elected us for himself in Christ, and he did this before the foundation or the creation of the world, meaning eternity past. And we explain how this could be so in midweek classes. How is it that you can be elected before the universe is even created? And you have to understand two central doctrines. It is the doctrine of the divine decree and the doctrine of omniscience. God knows all things past, present, and future, nothing he doesn't know. Therefore, he can peer into human history long before human history actually becomes reality and determine the free will decisions by whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and therefore is saved at that point, but elected in eternity past. This is not the election of five-point Calvinism. It is the election of four-point Calvinism. It is the election that is God recognizing the free will of an individual rather than determining what that free will will be. So there's two competing theologies out there in 21st century America that's been gurgling since the Reformation. Now this brings us back to our passage on the elect that make up the pivot of client nations in the church age. Let's look now, and we're going to be jumping around in 1 Peter. Now we want to look at 1 Peter 2:4. We're going to jump back to 1 Peter 2:1 and 2:2 in order to illustrate and amplify. And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. Now, the second chapter begins with those things that hinder the believer from having a positive impact on the client nation's pivot. Get that. The second chapter, 2 Peter 2, begins with those things that hinder the believer from having a positive impact on the client nation's pivot. So get that. Our pivot is shrinking in this country. We know that to be. And if it shrinks to a smaller degree, let's say, if it continues to shrink, then the freedoms we enjoy in the client nation will diminish. They already are. Really bad decisions are being made by people in authority that are robbing us systematically, nitpick here, nitpick there, but rob our freedoms in the process. They will keep doing that until the nitpicking has nitpicked you into slavery. But we're to expect that. All client nations up to this point have fallen with the exception of this one. And it's trying to kill itself. So there's no guarantee. So get rid of all evil and all deceit and all hypocrisies and jealousies and all slander. What's he talking about? Who's he? Do you know who he's talking about? I can't remember the names of these countries, but maybe you can. If you jump back in your Bible to the first verse, chapter 1, verse 1, I think there are about six groups of folks that he's trying to talk to. About six of them. Folks. And he's talking to these people. Now, what's going on in those six areas? Apparently, they're up to no good. Get rid of all evil and all deceit and all hypocrisies and jealousies and all slander. Open season on each other. Let's look at this. Oops. These are not Bible words. They come out of Stephen Pressfield's book, Gates of Fire. But a wonderful illustration as to how things ought to work in a church. Take a look at the top one. It says, exoterike harmonia. That's not exoterike harmonica, but exoterike harmonia. Okay. That means external harmony. Okay, you have this harmony among the body. See? All right. Out of harmony and concord with others. But then you come down here, you have esoterike harmonia. That means inner harmony of the soul. So although this one we put first and this one put second, this is what you shoot for. This is how you get there. Esoterike harmonia is harmony in the soul. So when you have harmony in your soul, in other words, you've got a flow going as far as your advance is concerned. You're moving forward in the plan. Problem-solving devices are being facilitated and applied. So you get to the copacetic spiritual life. What you got? You got esoterike harmonia, inner harmony, problem-solving device number 9. What will that produce? That will produce exoterike harmonia with others. And it says here, outer harmony, concord with others. All right. So that's what we see here. Such mental attitudes are not conducive. That's 1 Peter 2:1, where they're trying to kill each other. Such mental attitudes are not conducive to maintaining exoterike harmonia in the body of Christ. Why? Look at what they're doing. All evil and all deceit, all hypocrisies and jealousies and slander. Guess what they don't have in those 6 towns? Esoterike harmonia. If you don't have that, then you're going to be trying to kill each other. Or at least make their lives miserable. Now, conspiracies, cliques, factions, and discord destroy the harmony that should be a primary objective and responsibility of every Christian's daily modus operandi. I remember back about 30 years ago, police brutality, as so defined lately, is when somebody misbehaves with a policeman, they'll clean his plow, as my dad used to say. So this old boy out in Los Angeles had gotten misbehaving. They hauled him out of a car, and he wouldn't put his hands behind his back. And so they started putting a whooping on him. And so everybody got all upset about that. And so they interviewed him about what he thought about it. And he said, "Can't we just all get along?" Well, you know, when you start fighting a guy with a badge, you're going to get a knot on your head. So can't we just all get along? Can't work unless you know how to get along to start with. You get out of the car and say, "Yassa, calf rope," and everything will go well for you at that point. If you're innocent, then that lawyer will take care of that. But you can't fight it out on the streets. That's not going to play out. Unless, of course, your hands are up and asking them not to shoot. Then that works every time. So conspiracies, cliques, factions, and discord destroy the harmony that should be a primary objective and responsibility of every Christian's daily modus operandi. Now, a client nation cannot efficiently function if the members of its pivot are in Operation Gang Afterglay. Now, Gang Afterglay, if you'll note your footnote, a lyric from To a Mouse by Robert Burns, who wrote in the Scottish dialect of England, and it is translated in modern English, often go awry. A client nation cannot efficiently function if the members of the pivot are in operation, often go awry, or gang afterglay. If these attitudes and behaviors are habitual, then those involved are functioning in an emotional revolt of the soul. That's habitual now. Everybody has a bad day. Emotional revolt of the soul. These can only be eliminated by what is recorded in verse 2. So 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, see, do you realize you can be in doctrine for 30 years? I'm just picking that out because that's how long I've been here. So you've been in doctrine for 30 years, and all of a sudden, everything's out the window. Forget all of that. I'm going to war. So you have to start over. I mean, you do see that you have to have remedial courses. I had a lot of those. Remedial means a do-over. If you didn't know, some of you brilliant people, I met some brilliant people. They must be in the back room there. I met some, right here. There are these geniuses right here. One is going to be a master's in accounting, and this lady here, a master's in chemistry. No remedial courses for them, but I remedialed both of those. Yes, and when the lady, Miss Cowart, you have the map above the blackboard, and you pull it down. It's like it's the United States, or it's, you know, the continent or whatever. You go find the capital of Utah, and you go, "Yes, ma'am." When when she pulled down her map, there were a bunch of boxes. It had letters inside each of the box. And she says, pull it down and said, now, the first day out, y'all have to memorize this chart here. And I raised my hand. I was always raising my hand at the wrong time. I said, what do those letters mean? And I don't remember any of them but one, because it was an A. I figured we started with A. And as fate would have it, it was AU, which I thought was Auburn. So I knew that. But she said, no, it's gold. That's the whatever for gold. There's a term for that. I have no idea. And she said, it's gold. I said, well, Miss Cowart, why don't you just put gold in there? And she never said a word. She just looked at me with those expressions a teacher can have, like, how on earth did I wind up with this guy in my class this year? Remedial. So when you fail in the angelic conflict, there's going to be a remedial course. It's a do-over. You blew that one, buddy. You got to back up, and you got to do that one again. So if you find that the same kind of minutia is hitting you repeatedly, it's because you're not moving through it. You're getting the remedials. It's like chemistry for me. Okay, and coming to him as a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. That's our passage. And we don't have time for it right now because, we run out of time. And so that is a good place to resume, because that's the verse we're going to emphasize. But I want to quit by reading two to you again. As newborn babes, desire without deceit the pure nourishment of the word, so that you may grow spiritually. See that? You got to start over. As a result, because of your salvation, your deliverance. So you don't want to do the do-overs. You always want to keep moving. So keep moving is the issue, and we'll take that up at 1 Peter 2:4. Now, before we dismiss with a closing prayer, Weldon is going to have a brief meeting with members of the senior prep school faculty in the church office. So hustle back there. It'll only take a few minutes. Now, Father, we thank you for the opportunity and the privilege of studying these things today. It is our prayer that these concepts from 1 Peter and other passages will be magnified in our souls as we seek to do battle in the unseen war of the angelic conflict. Motivate and encourage us in the battle as we lift our prayer in the name of Christ our Savior. Charis human kai irene, plethun thae in epinosai, tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu himon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, shall we stand as we sing.